study about Abraham this last couple of weeks. It was about doors, and it's about Abraham being the tent in his tent door. And so I didn't know what the topic was till just about 2 weeks ago, so I didn't get the info on it. But it's been a really good study for me. I've enjoyed studying it. It was hard to get going with it in my heart, so I kept praying about it and asking the Lord's blessing, and so he gave me some things to think about and to talk about here. So before we start, why don't we ask the Lord's blessing in our time together. Dear God, our Father, we bow before you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, that it is a wonderful book. And it's got so many hidden things that are in it that it may take us eternity to learn all that you have put in this book. But Lord, right now we thank you that we on this side of heaven see someone in that book, a very precious someone, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, this morning, or this evening rather, we just pray that we again may see the wonders and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. So we just ask your help, your blessing, and clarity of thought and mind to understand what you have in this book. In Jesus' name, our Lord. Amen. So we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Abraham was an individual that was very blessed by God. And I asked the question, why was Abraham blessed by God? And the answer comes back quite easily as we read through the passages here. Why that Abraham was chosen and how all these things happened to Abraham. He's the father of three major faiths of the earth. He's first the father of the Jews. The Jewish race started through Abraham. And the Jews are the longest running religion in the Bible. Running from Abraham on. And then Moses writes about the beginning of time later on. And then we also have the Christians who follow after Abraham's faith as well, because we believe that he is the father of the faith. And this faith that we believe in is how we get to heaven, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there's the Muslims who say that he's their father as well. So you have three major religions of the world that are teaching about, have their teachings, as it were, from Abraham. I believe two of them are correct, but I believe the other one is not correct. I believe they have falsehood in their teachings. But anyways, we're not going there. So let's look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 18. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees in Mamre. And as he was sitting in his tent, in the tent and door, in the heat of the day, so he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. So here we find Abraham seeing the appearance of the Lord coming to him. First thing when I read this years ago as a young Christian, I asked, how did he know that that was the Lord? It says, there appeared to him three men. And he ran to them, and he bowed himself to the ground, and he recognized them as the Lord. And I said to myself, how does he know that? So my study had much to do. I kept going over that in my mind. Well, how does he know that? I want to be able to tell you the answer to that question. So let's go back over to chapter 12, and we're going to find out the answer. I'm not going to read all the passages, but you can read the whole story of yourself if you want. But just a couple of verses out of each one, because we haven't got the time to read all that pertains to these chapters. But chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says here, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So first off, this is the first time that Abraham hears the word of the Lord. He's 75 years old, not a young man. The first time God speaks to him, he's 75 years old, and he says to him, get out of Haran and get down to where I'm going to lead you. Get away from your family. And so Abraham packs up his goods and he moves. So the Lord spoke to him there. The word spoke. How he spoke to him, I don't know if you're an audible voice in his head or a voice in the room. I don't know. It doesn't say. But he did hear. But look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So we find here that he heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord told him to do something. And guess what? He was obedient. That's why God chose him. Because he was obedient. He did what God told him one time. Saul had to be told many times. He was did the wrong thing all the time. So, but that Abraham hearkened unto the word of the Lord and just did it. And then if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, and I'll read it to you for the sake of time. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he had, which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God spoke once to him. He didn't know where he was going, and he left. He packed up his goods, it says here, and he departed. So God spoke to him. Let's look at verses 6 and 7, same chapter. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moriah. And the Canaanites were there then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, here's the second time that the Lord speaks to Abraham, second time in a chapter. But many years may have passed because he took, I don't know how long it was, but some time had passed. And finally, then he moves out and he's in the land and the Lord appears to him this time. This time he didn't just speak to him, he appears to him. I don't know exactly what that means other than that he visualized himself to Abraham. So Abraham got to see this vision or this person like he did over here in chapter 18. So he got to see God appear to him, speak to him. And he says, I'll give this land to your descendants. So God promises him the land. Let's turn over to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. So some time goes by, and the Lord appears, this time doesn't appear to him, but shows himself in a vision. And if you read that chapter, the Lord keeps speaking to him. It's quite a bunch of the things that the Lord does there in that chapter. He says, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Wow. There's nothing greater than having the Lord visualize himself to you and promise you things that like this. And he's, I'm your reward for being obedient. And he said, I will multiply. Verse 5, he says here, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So here Abraham's 76, 77 by now. I don't know how old he would be. It doesn't say how old he was at the time. But he's on it, getting on a little older. But God said, I'm going to give you this. Look, all the stars, he says. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a great man. So he has a vision of the Lord. This is the third time God spoke to him through three different ways. Okay? Then let's turn to chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, now 24 years has passed. He was 75, he's 99, it's 24 years. 24 years had passed, and the Lord appeared to him, to Abraham, and said to him, or to Abram, I am Almighty God, walk before me, and be blameless. You see, Abram, there's another thing. Abram was a friend of God because of obedience and because he was blameless before the Lord. Abram walked the straight line. He walked before the Lord as he should have walked, as he should walk. And the Lord honors and shows himself to those who walk the line. So if we are faithful, he is faithful to show more of himself to us. You'll notice there's a progression from the first chapter we read in chapter 12. He starts with, I'm going to get you out of the land, he says. Then he gives him the land. And then he says, I'm going to make your descendants great. So every time he's showing a little more of his plan to Abram. And Abram's just following along. Years have gone by. I'm sure by now he's 99 years old. He's probably thinking, well, you said I'd be a great, nation of people that can't count the stars. He probably almost would have forgotten that maybe in 24 years, wondering, well, when's this going to happen? But we find there that he was still faithful. And then verse 4, the same chapter, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Again, he says it again to him. You're going to be a father of many nations. And if you keep reading on, he talks about all, more things about that. Verse 10, same chapter. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. So God brings another part of the plan into the thing, and that is circumcision. For every male after that was born to his genealogy. So they all have to be circumcised. So let's look at verse 21. But my covenant I will establish Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. So now he's opening the vision even further, his unrolling of what he's going to do. Now he says to him, you're going to have a child with Sarah. And Sarah was 90 years old at this time. And, maybe 89, because it's the next year that she actually has the child, and she's 90 years old the next year, and he's 100 years old the next year. But then, if you go on to verse 26, that very same day, Abraham, and by the way, his name was changed to Abraham, and her name was changed to Sarah in this chapter, because God said, you are going to be the father of many nations, and Sarah should be the mother of many nations, and kings and queens shall be, kings shall be born to you. Then anyways, verse 26, on the same day, the very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael. Now, you talk about obedience. The Lord showed him, told him what to do. Obedience, he did it. And then we come into our chapter. Verse 1, chapter 18. Then the Lord appeared to him. Do you see that? Do you see the progression? Obedience, 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 obedience. And then the Lord appeared to him after he was circumcised. This chapter 17 and 18 really should be one chapter, because the topic is the same in the same place. And this happens. Now, I don't know if it's days, weeks happen, go by, or months, or whatever, but it's the same time, because he says to him, next year you will have a son. Anyways, so then the Lord appeared to him. And that's what made me think. How did Abraham know it was the Lord? Isn't the answer quite obvious? He spent time with him. He knew him. He met him. He's seen him on the way. The Lord visualized himself to him on many occasions and had spoken to him through in his ear, and he had vision. Of course he knew the Lord. Wouldn't you? And wouldn't you, if you heard him come, run from your doorway? Certainly you would. It'd be like, 24 years has gone by. He hasn't heard a word from the Lord. So all of a sudden, he sees this three people appear to him beside him. He knew right away, that's the Lord. Just like Peter, when John said to him in the boat, it's the Lord. What did Peter do? He dove into the water, full blast. He wanted to see the Lord again, the love of his heart, the love of his soul. And so Abraham, I believe, had that same love for the Lord. He wanted to see the Lord again. He knew it was the Lord. Of course he knew who it was. The Lord appeared to him. And that word Lord, by the way, is all capitalized letters, meaning Jehovah. And that's a Jewish term for the Almighty God. And so here the Almighty God appeared to him. If you can you get your mind wrapped around that. And that is an amazing thing. And so there he is, and he meets with the Lord. This is the fifth time the Lord appeared to him. And out of the five times that the Lord spoke to him, three of them, he actually visualized himself to him. He saw him. It says he appeared to him. So it's no wonder that he knew who he was. Now, there's also another point here that I'd like to point out here in this passage. And it's the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre. Now, in the King James Version, it doesn't say that. Has anybody got a King James here? They're reading it? It doesn't say that terebinth trees. Does it say that? Does anybody have one here? They're reading it? No one's got a King James Version here? Well, that's okay. The reason why I looked it up in both, because sometimes the New King James, which I'm reading, doesn't say the same words the King James says. So, and it doesn't. It just says by the plains of Mamre. So I said, well, why is there a discrepancy here? Why does it say the terebinth trees here, and then it says the plains over in the King James Version? So right away, I go to the Thompson chain book and pushed on the button to say what the word plains stands for. And guess what it stands for? Strong oak, or trees of oak. They're strong trees of oak. So it may not be an oak tree as we know it, but that's what it meant. So I thought, well, that is neat. Here we have, on the visions that he sees him, that tree has been mentioned. And that tree is also mentioned elsewhere in scriptures too. And that tree has a purpose. Everything that God writes in the Word of God has a purpose for being there. And you wonder, okay, the terebinth trees, okay, what are you getting at, Pat? Well, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, God delights to show or point us to the work of his Son. He delights to do that. And when you read his scriptures, you'll find that in many places where the terebinth trees, if you go through that, you will find that it all points to the cross. It always points to the cross. And I'm going to prove it to you here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who himself bore our sins, this is talking about Jesus, in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, here's where I'm going to show you some passages here that talk about the terebinth trees. In Genesis chapter 35, if you want to turn there, you can. 35 verse 4, it says, So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. Now you say, okay, how does that make that? Because he was going to meet the Lord. If you read that passage, I don't want to read the whole passage. I haven't got time. Look, it's already, I got another whole page and a half to go yet. But anyway, the reason why they're going to meet the Lord. The Lord said, clean yourself up. He says, you know, do everything because you're going to meet me. So he says, he took all their silver and their gold and their idols, and he hid them under the tree. Isn't that where all our idols are going to be dropped off? When we met the Lord, didn't we just melt under the cross? Didn't we fall on our feet and just throw our idols away? That's what the cross is about. So the Lord Jesus is the cross. He's on the cross. Here, this particular passage, the Lord met him, met Jacob. Because Jacob put the gold and all the silver, the things that attract us, that would take us away from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and God and the cross. And he hid them. He buried them. He put them out of his sight. Now, there's another one, chapter 35, verse 8. Now, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried below Bethel, under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Alon Bechorath, which means, get this, this is where she was buried, the nurse. And they loved the nurse because she was part of their family. And so these girls grew up with them, Rebecca did, and so she loved her, and this woman died. And they buried her under the tree. And guess what that tree, that name Alon Bechorath means, I'm not saying the word right, but whatever. It means oak of weeping. There's that oak tree again. Oak of weeping. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I wept. I was under the cross. I looked up. I saw his hands. I saw his feet. And I wept. I still do. It's the place of weeping. It's the place of healing. Yeah? And it's the place where we died. We died with Christ. She died and was buried, and she was with Christ. So that's what that means. So see, that tree, if you, and there's many, many, many others. I looked at five or six of them. I don't have time to go through all of them, but I thought, well, that was neat. That was very neat. And I thought, that would be, to me, it was exciting to see that, what that tree means. So let's go on. Last page. How much time is that? 5 minutes. So we have here, let's go back to chapter 18. The Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. You know, it was like, you think, you know, I lived in Florida, and when my brother was coming down there, we were constantly at the window, constantly at the door. Is he going to be here yet? You don't see his car. You know, it's a 1,500-mile drive down to Florida. And we're looking. You know, is he here yet? There's a car going by. So that's if it's just him. No, it's not him. You know, and so maybe Abraham was waiting for the Lord. Maybe he was in the tent door looking expectantly for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was waiting for him to come. And he was there waiting. And he's standing and he's sitting in the doorway. And what is this door? Isn't it the doorway into his home? The place where his home is? That's where it was, his home, right? Isn't it the place of hospitality? The place where we let people come? Maybe Abraham was a type of individual. And back in the day, people were spread out pretty far. So if a sojourner was coming by, come in, have some water. Come over here. Let me learn of your trade. Let me see, well, where are you going? And they talked, and they were friendly with each other because they didn't see people that often. And they were open to their homes. Their hospitality was wide open. And Abraham, I would imagine, entertained many a visitor. It's the place of his fellowship. That doorway is fellowship. To sit down and eat together. Sit down and come in the house. Sit down and meet each other. Know each other a little bit better. It was the place of Abraham's door. We have a doorway. It's called our heart. That door is our heart's door to God. Have you been waiting at the door for him? Do you hear him knocking on your door? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and I know you all know this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he's talking Revelation. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So Jesus is saying, I stand at the door and I knock. He doesn't knock like that. He knocks like this. That's how he knocks. He's a gentle person. He is gentle. And he's kind. And he's loving. And he will not break your door down. If you don't hear it, you miss it. you don't hear it, you miss it. In John chapter 14, verse 23, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord wants to meet with you and me. What does he see in us? What does he see in us? That he wants to meet with you and I. Well, he loves us. And he proves his love every day. He's a friend indeed. My wife says to me, Pat, you're a terrible friend to your friends. I hate calling people up. I hate getting on the phone. And she says, you should call. What's his name? She called, always reminding me, call something there and tell him, you know. But you don't have to do that with the Lord Jesus. He's constantly there for you. He's better than a friend, better than a brother. In verses 2 and through 5, it says, So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing with him by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. He ran to meet them. He said, and said, My Lord. And the word Lord there is, it's not all capitalized. So it's Lord as in a master or my great one. Okay? And he says, If I have now found favor in your sight, please do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, and you may eat and refresh yourselves, refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come and to your servant. And they said, Do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent of Sarah and said, Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and set them before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Now, you'll notice, too, in this particular part, the tree is mentioned two more times. You see, Abraham went under the tree in both times that he saw the Lord, met with the Lord there. The Lord was willing to sit under the tree. Why? Because the Lord loves his son and loves the work that he was willing to do for you and I. The Lord loves his son and the obedience of the work that he was going to do for you and I. And it delights him when we talk about his servitude to us. The Lord God loves his son. He is a wonderful son. So he says, rest yourselves under the tree. And you know what? He told that to God. He said, rest yourselves under the tree. And here's the only place that God can rest. His wrath. Did you hear that? It's the only place under the tree that he could rest his wrath. Because his wrath was extinguished upon his own son. Did this go off? No, it's there? Okay. So, there you have it. He's under the tree. And then, that's at verse 4. And then verse 8. And he stood by them under the tree. Another thing, you cannot stand in God's presence unless you have the shadow of the tree on you. Because you need to be clothed in the blood of Christ who covers you, takes away your sins, and makes you able to stand before him. See, it all unfolds. And Abraham did this. And everything he did was right. He sacrificed the animal. Again, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who was going to die on that tree. He said, go make fine bread and make fine meal. He took the fine meal. The meal is flour or oats or whatever. And banged, crushed, smashed to the finest of powders. Jesus was crushed for you and I. beaten down to a smithered dust for you and I. And then they took that, they put a little bit of water and they put some stuff in it there, and they put it in an oven. He went through the fire for you and I. So he did it all right. Well, I'm not going to read any further. Abraham ends up praying or talking to God and trying to intercede for Lot and his in Sodom and Gomorrah. And only we can do that. Only we can do that. We can intercede for the lost around us. So, finishing off, I had a little more to say, but I went fast through that. Abraham was waiting at the doorway. Are you waiting at the doorway? Are you listening for God's knock? Are you willing to open the door? Are you in a hurry to hear from him? Do you want to listen to him? Have you opened your heart to hear the quiet little knock every morning, every night when he talks to you? Will you obey him when he asks you? Father in heaven, we bow before you. We thank you for this, your word. We thank you for the glory of it. And Lord, we thank you that it reminds us so much of that one that you love, the apple of your eye, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for everyone here this evening. Lord, that our hearts have been warmed by the light that shines upon that cross and on us and gives us the light of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, your blessing as you would warm our hearts to want to every morning meet with you, to take the time to have joy in our hearts, to be obedient so that we can be used, that you would be unfolding your mysteries to us as we become more and more obedient to you. So, Lord, these things we pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord. Amen.